Welcome to the Pharma Podcast, conversations with industry experts and business leaders about important and current topics in Canadian pharma, biotech, and medtech. I'm your host, Sam Tarantino. On this episode of the Pharma Podcast, my guest is Jesse Buckstein, principal at SeaPoint Capital. SeaPoint Capital was founded in 2010. SeaPoint Capital is led by a team of entrepreneurs seeking to invest in small to medium-sized healthcare and pharmaceutical companies. On today's podcast, Jesse and I will discuss the healthcare investment market in Canada and how a changing economy is affecting investor appetites. Welcome to the Pharma Podcast, Jesse.
Thanks for having me, Sam. Glad to be on.
Well, let's start. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at SeaPoint.
Sure. So as you noted, my name is Jesse. I've been at SeaPoint for coming up on 8 years this week. Time flies when you're having fun, I guess. And as you noted, SeaPoint is a Canadian-based global investor in specialty pharmaceutical and healthcare businesses. Sort of two tiers to what we do. One element of our business is we invest in and operate a network of specialty pharmaceutical companies around the world under the banner of Juno Pharmaceuticals. There's about 10 companies located across Canada, the UK, South Africa, and Australia of varying sizes and strategic focuses, but with a general focus on, I would say, niche hospital generics, though some businesses focus more on brands, some on branded generics, and some on just traditional generics. So it really depends on the nature of the company. And we're quite active in building out those companies, both from an investment standpoint, but also from a product selection and strategic guidance standpoint. And then we also invest in sort of more venture type companies, typically Canadian based, and medical devices or ancillary technologies. As for myself, I'm a principal at SeaPoint. I also serve as the director of corporate development of the Juno Group. I'm involved with helping find products and make strategic partnerships across our groups. And I guess that's me in a nutshell.
Awesome. All right. Let's start with the investment landscape in Canada. where do you see the market today?
So, you know, I'd say we're kind of in the fear and uncertainty part of the market. Obviously, if you follow public markets, we're down about 20% year to date, I think. Closer to 18% last I checked. But I think anyone who tells you they know exactly where the market's heading right now is lying through their teeth. And I don't think we'll really have a good sense of where things are heading until after the US midterms, because there's so much being done artificially right now to keep the, let's say, metaphorical wheels from falling off the bus. But certainly, there's a lot of uncertainty in the market related to inflation, related to supply chains, to a lesser extent related to rising interest rates. And all of that is creating not quite a panic at this point. I don't want to compare it to 2008 or anything of that sort, but definitely a lot of hesitancy about getting into the market. I think people who are in the market already aren't in a rush to sell off. But people who are looking to get into the market are certainly having second thoughts about doing so at this stage of the game.
So the interest rates are rising. Is that the reason you think that valuations have been impacted so much? Is it directly related? Is it just interest rates?
No, I definitely don't think it's just interest rates. I think interest rates play a part in it. But if you look at interest rates compared to the inflation rates we're seeing, the fact of the matter is real interest rates are still negative. And so I don't think anyone is really using that as a justification to get in or out of the market right now. I think it's more a factor of inflation and all the uncertainty around that, as well as supply chain constraints, which are affecting businesses left, right, and center. And I don't think until we see where the dust settles and supply chain normalization, or at least some degree of supply chain normalization, will we really get to see where true valuations land, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, real, just for our audience, when you say real interest rates, you mean interest rates net of
inflation.
Inflation, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is what, 8% now?
Yeah, something like that, and close to 10% in the US.
Mm-hmm. So the rising rate environment, is it impacting the ability to raise capital with your companies and tap into the market? Are you seeing a shift away from the capital markets?
Definitely seeing a shift away from the capital markets. I mean, all of this uncertainty, for all the reasons we spoke about, are, I think, making it harder and harder for companies to raise money in the sort of public market settings. I do think there's still a decent amount of capital in private markets. That being said, where interest rates do have an effect is, you know, people who are looking to raise money or companies that are looking to raise money from private individuals, those private individuals, anyone who has any sort of debts with exposure to interest rates, now have less disposable capital available to put into, call it, riskier type investments. And so that's where I think you're seeing some greater impact of the rising interest rate environment, not so much in public company valuations, but more in the ability to tap into capital from earlier stage companies. Now, as for our companies themselves, we're fortunate in that most of our companies are already past the point of profitability. And if they're not, have at least crossed the metaphorical prove it point. So it's easier for our companies to raise capital where they need to than, call it, the average earlier stage business in this market. But certainly it's having some interesting effects on conversations around follow-on valuations and series valuations that were easier to attain a round or two ago aren't necessarily being given away so easily today. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. So are you seeing, or do you think companies will start going public again once the markets and the valuations improve? Or do you think this is a permanent change and stay private for longer?
I mean, markets go through cycles. So I think eventually when the market environment is more favorable, you'll see more companies go public again. But I think at least for the short to medium term, for sure, more companies are going to stay private for longer as they look to tap into the capital sources that they can. And certainly if you follow what's gone on with the TSX Ventures and other venture indices over the last 6 months or so, you've seen a lot of companies take a bath on their valuations. And so that's rightfully scaring off new companies from coming to market. And I think in some ways, everyone wants to go public when they can and when it makes sense to, because that's the source of most liquidity. And you can get ridiculously high valuations in the right market. But the flip side of that is when there's market fear and panic, the coin can flip really, really quickly, and great companies can have their valuations take a nosedive for no other reason other than an unfavorable investment climate. And so I think companies with the ability to raise money in the private markets will continue to do so, at least for the short term. And then if and when the markets turn around, I think you'll see more companies go back to trying to go public. I think that's just the nature of market cycles.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about profitability. Are you seeing that runway shorten? Anecdotally, I have, all right, where the expectation was, you know, 5 years, now it's, you know, 12 months.
Yeah, I mean, definitely I've seen more companies focus on bootstrapping where they can, and partially by necessity because of less capital being available, and partially just from wanting to be less exposed and having less risk. So yes, I'd say from a business plan standpoint, you're seeing people pitch a shorter and clearer path to profitability. Whether or not that actually translates in practice remains to be seen. You know, if you took everything you ever saw in a pitch deck at face value everyone would be a bajillionaire. And the reality is, the difference between theory and practice is practice.
Mm-hmm. So let's zero in on the Canadian ecosystem, startup ecosystem. What are you observing?
So I'm of two minds. On one hand, I think the Canadian startup ecosystem has come leaps and bounds in the last 5-10 years, and university incubators have done a really nice job of cultivating some really great talent, not just in the med tech space, but in the AI space and the biomed space. We have a lot of really smart people coming out of some great universities with some truly world-class ideas. And there are some really exciting companies and technologies out there. That being said, part of the problem with the Canadian investment climate is we're consistently conservative. And I've always said Canada is blessed to be resource rich. But it's a bit of a double-edged sword because it leads us to get lazy and rest on those sort of natural resource laurels. And because we've always historically been so successful commercializing that which we can take out of the ground, there's more of a hesitation to invest in earlier stage entrepreneurship and companies that have a potential to go to zero, for lack of a better term. And so I still think while you do have an improvement in access to capital in Canada, and certainly groups like Bloom Burton and Lumera and whatnot, they're doing a really, really nice job of championing the ecosystem and trying to bring in investment. It's still an uphill battle. There certainly isn't the same access to capital in Canada that you see in some of the big investment hubs in the US. And I think ultimately what that translates to is a lot of your best and brightest companies going south of the border, not because they want to, but because they have to. Mm-hmm.
From a deal flow perspective, have you noticed any changes?
In terms of deal flow volume, I wouldn't say we've noticed any changes. I think we're starting to see it on valuations though. Certainly companies that were talking about raising at ridiculous multiples 12 months ago have started to come down significantly. And whether or not that's fully right-sized yet or overcorrected, I think remains to be seen. But definitely seeing more normal valuations and less pushback from founders when you challenge their valuations.
Mm-hmm. What about the investment climate specific to pharma and specialty pharma, which I believe C-Point, specializes in?
I think probably pharma and specialty pharma has been less affected than other industries simply because pharma is such an inelastic business, and particularly in the generics game where your game is fundamentally to bring down the price of the medicines. There's always going to be demand for services and demand for products. That being said, there has been impact on valuations, probably not as significant as you're seeing in the rest of the broader market. But I think it's fair assumption to say that we've seen valuations reduced by probably anywhere from half to two turns of EBITDA, depending on the business. And so it's having impact. It's probably not having as much impact as it's having in the rest of the broader market, but markets move together. So they don't necessarily all move in tandem, but they move in a similar pattern.
So any final insights to share with our audience?
A bunch. So I guess first of all, to the point of the startup ecosystem, we've got some really great entrepreneurs, and the Canadian economy cannot go on just expecting to be a resource-blessed economy forever and that's going to be our bread and butter. And so at some point, we owe it to ourselves as Canadians to identify these great companies and take the risk and invest in some of these brilliant entrepreneurs and keep these companies Canadian, because that's what's going to drive the future of the economy. So I encourage anyone listening in this to start looking at some of the incubators in our system, be it out of J Labs or some of the university incubators or talk to Bloom Burton and get a sense of what's out there and think long and hard about investing in companies within the Canadian ecosystem, because the capital is required, particularly in today's day and age. And there's some great opportunity out there. Obviously, not every investment is going to work out and some are going to fail, but for the ones that fail, for the ones that succeed, your returns will more than outstrip your losses. And so from both a financial and patriotic standpoint, I think we all owe it to ourselves to be taking a deeper dive into this market. And now is probably the right time to do it, because for all the reasons we talked about, I think you've got more favorable valuation environment than you have in the past, and that's not going to last forever. So take advantage of it while you can. And then secondly, just don't panic. The markets go up, markets go down, but if you're fundamentally invested in good companies, you'll see that return in the long run. So the worst thing you can do is cut your losses prematurely. Stick it out.
I couldn't agree more. On your first point, I really wish we would stop this, cannibalizing and trying to just move big industries from one city to another, when really the focus and the future job growth is really supporting the local ecosystem, young entrepreneurs that eventually will become, the next big biotech.
100%.
And that's where I think the employment lies, right? That's where it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Hey, Jesse, I really appreciate your insight and thank you for being a guest on the Pharma Podcast and sharing your insight. How can our listeners connect with you?
All right. So I am decidedly anti-social media. I do have Facebook, but I rarely use it. I don't have Instagram. I have a Twitter account that I use basically for following sports, but I never tweet out. So best way to reach me would just be reach out to me over email, jesse@cpointcapital.ca. I think you'll share that with your listeners, and always happy to look at interesting ideas or just connect with interesting like-minded individuals. So please don't hesitate to reach out, and thanks so much for having me, Sam. It's really been a pleasure, and thank you for championing the Canadian startup ecosystem.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Contact details for Jesse will indeed be made available on our website at thepharmapodcast.ca. Thank you for listening. The Pharma Podcast is available to listen to for free on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and on our website at thepharmapodcast.ca. We are also available on YouTube. Please subscribe and follow me on LinkedIn to stay up to date on future podcasts. If you would like to be a guest on this podcast, or if there is a topic we should cover in future episodes, please connect with me via LinkedIn. Thank you.